Log Talk Radio.
Well, the master timekeeper, he died on the cross, and it breaks his heart knowing hell's gain is his loss. But if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then you'll know where you're going if he calls you tonight. You don't have to go home and live up in glory, but you can't live forever down here. For all in this world that's uncertain, one thing is clear, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. For all in this world that's uncertain, one thing is clear, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Amen. Ain't but one choice or the other. You ain't got to go home, but you can't stay here. I heard that a lot of times. It wasn't in that context, but I tell you what, that's the truth. Amen. Somebody took that old saying and put a different twist on it. Amen. All right. I want to take our Bible this morning and turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke 12th chapter, and we're going to do a little catch-up reading this morning because we were visiting with another church last Sunday. We sold our former church building and are selling it, and there's another church meeting in it, and they want to serve us Thanksgiving dinner, and we were much obliged to be able to be there and enjoy the service. And they tried to kill me with food. They just kept bringing it, and I couldn't quite eat it all. It turned me into a glutton. But sure thankful for Thanksgiving. Had a blessed time. Enjoyed everything. Amen. I know it ain't spiritual, but the Cowboys won. Amen. I'm very thankful for the whole holiday. Amen. I know, Brother Wally, that don't mean nothing, does it? But you know what? It brought this old heart a little enjoyment anyway. I was thankful for all the blessings that we had, and good to see all the family we saw, and food was delicious, and God's good, even though so many things are in a mess, even though so many things are up in the air and we don't know what the future holds. I'm just very thankful that God's still good. He can prepare a table in the wilderness. He can bring rain in the middle of a drought. God's able, and I'm very thankful. God's provided a way when there was no way many times, and I'm waiting for him to do that again. All right, we're in Luke chapter 12, but I think we need to back up just a little bit, and I'm trying to remember where we was going to start at. I looked at it this morning. I think we're going to back up there to chapter 11, verse 37. I was trying to look back to when he went to a different place and start there, because he's there now. And it's just, I mean, we can back up way long ways if we wanted to, but I don't see any need in it. So Jesus you remember he sent the 70 out, right? He knows there's about 6 months left in his ministry till he's going to Calvary. So he sent out the 70 to go and prepare the way in all the cities of Judea where he's going. And as he goes, he's doing miracles everywhere. Understand that. Because why? Well, the Jews require a sign. And so that's why he's doing miracles everywhere he goes. And so he's healing sick. He's raising the dead. He's opening blind eyes. He's unstopping deaf ears. He's loosening deaf tongues. He's healing leprosy. He's casting devils out. He's doing all the things we've seen him do everywhere he goes. So let's look here in verse 37 in chapter 11. The Bible said, "And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Violence and filth is what you're full of on the inside, even though your outside looks really pretty to everybody around you. Ye fools," that's what God calls them, those who think they're going to look good for man, but yet on the inside they're rotten. He said, "Did not he that made that which is without on the outside make that which is within also?" I mean, you know, God sees every part of you. He doesn't just see your outside. He said, "But rather give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue over all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not leave the other undone." In other words, we're going to be exact. Well, we're going to split hairs on every little ticky-tack detail on the outside, and nitpick everybody else. I mean, these, understand the Pharisees. The Pharisees, I was doing a little reading on the Pharisees, just brushing up on my memory of everything about them that I could. But most of the time, Pharisees were basically just the businessmen around town. They were average middle class people. They weren't the upper echelon necessarily, but they were middle to upper class. And I mean, to relate them to today, I almost relate them to the Mason's Lodge. I really would, because see, they got a belief system, and they'll mention God, but they don't know Jesus. They know all about secrets and mysteries and traditions and all those things, but they don't know Jesus. And you may say, "Oh, there's some Masons that know Jesus." Well, there may be some Masons who are very early up into it who know Jesus, but I'm telling you right now, if they know Jesus, they figure out pretty quick they're in a mess they need to get out of. So I don't know, you know, if somebody listening, if you've got family in there, and you say, "Oh, Papa's been a Mason all his life, but he's Christian as good as anybody I know." Well, I'd tell Papa he needs to get out of that devil-worshipping cult and get out of there and start loving the Lord like he should. It is what it is. Albert Pike, was the head of that thing. He swore allegiance to Lucifer, and that's all I need to know. Amen. But anyway, so these Pharisees, again, they want to look good to everybody. And there's a lot of men who are upstanding members of the community who look that way on the outside, but you catch them off in their private life, you find out they're full of devils. And so but these were religious men. These were religious men, and these religious men imposed their extra beliefs on everybody else. They believed that by keeping the law, they would get to God. So, and they tried to do it as publicly as they possibly could. As far as, like I said, wearing scriptures in little boxes around, tied around their foreheads. So, you know, I got the Word of God on my mind. Amen. We just tie a Bible up here around our head with a belt. That'd be like us doing that. I mean, you say, "Boy, that's kind of silly." God never asked them to do that. They called them phylacteries. They put around their head. God never said tie that around your head. That's them trying to be super spiritual. And so these are the people he's dealing with today. I want you to understand that. And I know we've talked about them before, but I want you to get who he's talking about. And so, anyway, he goes on and he begins to pronounce woes to them. And he says, "Woe unto you Pharisees." I just read that. And then in verse 43, he said, "Woe unto you Pharisees, for you love the uppermost seats in the synagogue and greetings in the market." They like to be important. "Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not." Oh, you don't look like a grave, but you are a grave. "And the men that walk over them are not aware of them." The men that come up and talk to you, they think you are holy, holy, holy. But you are dead on the inside. That's what he's saying to them. And woe to you. Why? Because you're going to split hell wide open and you think you're on your way to heaven. And then he talks to the lawyers. And again, we talk about these lawyers. These aren't like civil and family law and criminal law. This is religious law. And he answered this, answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also. You get on our toes too, Jesus. Because you know what? We're trying to do things right too. And he said, woe unto ye also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens, grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens of one of your fingers. You're trying to get men to be perfect, and men can't be perfect. And you're trying to pretend like you're perfect, but you're not. You don't even try. You just pretend on the outside. He said, woe unto you, for you build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them, you deceivers. That's kind of like the Democratic Party railing against slavery, and they were the ones who started the Klan, crying out loud. It ain't no different. Listen, ain't nothing new. Things old, the same old processes, the same old things. Sin is sin throughout the ages. It's just different characters and different names, but they've assumed the same offices. Therefore, I said unto the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles. Some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required from this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple. Verily, I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Isn't that something? Boy, I'm glad I'm not part of that generation. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved, first of all. But I'm glad, hey, if I was going to be a lost man, I wouldn't want to be a lost man walking around Judea when Jesus is standing there talking and ignoring him. Amen. I'll tell you right now, there's levels of hell. I do believe that with all my heart. There's going to be hotter hell for some people than there is other. And I believe those who were the religious leaders in the time of Jesus Christ walking on this earth, who saw him with their eyes and heard him with their ears, is going to be hotter in hell for them than it will be for those who never heard his voice. I really believe that. Now, I mean, you say, it don't matter if you believe it or not. Well, that's okay. But I'm telling you right now, I believe Jesus is going to hold them a little more accountable if they stood there and looked at him in his eyes and they ignored him and they turned him. No, they did more than ignore him. They rejected him. Woe unto ye lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. You've taken away the key of knowledge. Why? Because they called him a devil. They said he worked for the Lord of filth, the Lord of dung. That's who Jesus worked for, according to them. You've taken away the key of knowledge. They won't even hear me now because you have closed the door to grace on them. You've told them I'm a devil, and now they won't even hear me. He said, you took away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. You slammed the door in their face. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak of many things, lie in wait for him, and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. They hated him. They didn't just dislike him. They hated him. They wanted him gone. They wanted to kill him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we pray this morning as we come to the Word of God. Father, I pray that you make it real. Lord, that you make it so real before us, Lord, that we shudder when we think about the gravity of it all. Lord, I pray you'd give me Holy Ghost power. Lord, I want to preach today. I want to preach for your honor and glory. I want to give Christ all the credit and all the glory and the praise he deserves. Father, I pray you forgive my sins. I pray, Lord, I know what I am, and I know I'm worthless without you. I know there's nothing good about me, so I pray you'd fill me so much that, Lord, all they hear and all they see is Jesus, Lord, and not me. Hide me behind the cross. Get me out of the way. Lord, please, I pray, Father, the Word of God come forth and touch the ears, touch the hearts, touch the souls and the lives of those that come in contact with the message today. Father, I pray that it all be done for Christ's glory. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Wally being with us today. Lord, I pray you bless him. Lord, bless our family that's here. Bless our church members. Father, I just thank you. Thank you so much for continuing to use us, Father. Lord, I pray, Father, that for all those that listen to us by way of the internet, Lord, some of them on the other side of the world, Lord, some of them here in our own country on the other side of the continent, Lord, on the other side of Lord, our country, Father, I just pray that your blessings be upon them. I pray you'd help them and strengthen them and give them strength to stand up and be something for you. Lord God, in your strength, I just give you the praise and the glory, and I thank you now in Christ's name. Amen. I do want to say that last weekend we were visiting over there at Faith Tabernacle Baptist that I was very encouraged. All those years we did television there in Paris. had people come up to me and say, you know, I remember you from that. I was sure was a blessing. I sure appreciate you preaching on TV. You know, I had a girl that we did our drug program there at the church, and one came up to me and she said, I was a part of that program and it stuck, and I just wanted you to know that. And I just give God glory for that. She was in church there. And I just want to thank God for people that I didn't even know that heard, you know. It's just a little tiny taste of what we'll see when we get around the throne and we see all the faces and we meet all the people. We won't meet them. We'll know as we're known. But we'll get to see all the people that heard, that we never knew heard. Ain't no telling how many people, Brother Wally, on sidewalks, standing over on the street corner just listening. They didn't come up to you. They just stood there and heard and stuck. You know, we don't know. We just have no way of knowing. So I give God glory for that. So anyway, let's get into the word. So in the meantime, the Bible says, in the meantime, while all that jaw is going back and forth between the Pharisees and the lawyers toward Jesus, and Jesus, I'm assuming Jesus is kind of ignoring them because he doesn't address them at this point. He turns away from them. And the Bible says, in the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people. I was reading after John Gill, who filled Spurgeon's pulpit many years before he did. I was reading his commentary. He said that myriad, he said in the original language, it's a myriad of people. It's what that word is derived from, that multitude there. He said in a myriad means over 10,000. So you got to realize the amount of people that are coming toward Jesus at this point. Now, realize he's not in Jerusalem. He's in Judea. He's down there. He went where he said he was going. He's on his tour of the south of Israel. And while he's talking, people just start coming. I mean, they just start coming. While that all this is going on in the midst of all this conflict, remember, this started back with them calling him saying he worked for Beelzebub, that he cast out demons through Beelzebub, and all that garbage. And again, he's telling them, y'all are slamming the door of grace. People just kept coming. People just, well, wouldn't you love to see that? Listen, there were so many of them that they trod upon one another. They wanted to get to Jesus so bad. Listen to me. They were willing to step over people to get to him. Boy, I tell you, I'd love to see that kind of conviction on people in this day and time. That they say, I'm going to risk life and limb. I've got to get to Jesus, no matter what it takes. Oh, would God we had that kind of a movement going on in this country. But they trod upon one another. The crowd just kept growing and growing and growing. And as I look at what Jesus is going to say, you notice what he says right here. He began to say unto his disciples, first of all, he ignored the Pharisees. He ignored the lawyers. He ignored the crowd for this moment. He's not, all these people that are coming to him are not his disciples. Not yet. So his disciples are those who he started out talking to originally before the Pharisees jumped in. This is his original crowd that was there. And he turned to them and he said to them, he said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, I got to think about leaven. Because, you know, we just had Thanksgiving and my wife, bless her heart, she bought a package of rolls. I've been thinking about telling this all morning. But my wife bought a package of rolls, and she didn't read the instructions, as sometimes we don't do. Well, I say she didn't read the instructions. She missed a line of instruction, which says take out and set out for 3 to 4 hours before you put them in the oven so that they'll thaw out and rise. But she didn't do that. She pulled them out 5 minutes before dinner and stuck them in the oven, and we had flat rolls. They did not rise at all because the leaven did not have a chance to do its job. So leaven, what I know of leaven is this. You mix it in the dough, and then you put it, you cover it, you put it in a warm space, a warm dark space, am I right? You put it away from the light and everything, and you leave it alone. What happens when you do that? It rises, it puffs up, it swells up. Sometimes 2 times, 3 times, 4 times its original size. Isn't that kind of funny that Jesus used that word there, leaven? What happens when you have somebody who is left alone, kept in the dark, in a lukewarm state? They start swelling up, thinking they know more than they know. They get puffed up with pride. They're lukewarm. They ain't on fire for Jesus. They don't have the fire of God in them. They're not seeking to please him with their life. They're just kind of lukewarm. I'm just going to do my thing over here. I know Jesus, but I'm just going to do my thing over here. Just leave me alone. I just want to go off in the dark in my corner. Don't bother me. What will happen is suddenly you start to think you know more than God. And you start saying things like, well, I know the Bible says this, but I just feel like this, and I just feel like that. That's what happens when you get lukewarm. You ain't got an opinion either way. Whatever, you know. God knows my heart. I've heard such nonsense before. Amen. We all have. You know, I just don't think God would ever, you know, punish anybody who's they're coming from the right place and all hogwash. You're either gonna follow God or you're not. But God is warning them, and I think he's giving them a mental picture because the crowd keeps swelling. The crowd is growing all around him. I mean, people stepping on each other trying to get to him. And they're coming. I'm going to tell you, I've been in a situation like that a long time ago before I started serving God. I was at a concert. I ain't going to lie to you, folks. Listen, we're living in a real world. I used to go to rock concerts a long time ago. And I remember being at one in my teenage years, and they announced, and it was a festival, and they announced the next band. And when they did, man, there was a crowd of people that rushed that stage. And Brother Wally, I had to get out there. I was scared for my life. But there's some rough-looking dudes coming in that crowd. I mean, it was a rock concert. Them dudes look rough, man. And they was rushing the stage. We shot out the side. I was actually frightened. I mean, I was a grown man, but I was frightened for my life because I was probably going to get crushed. I've been in those crowds when they shove up against the stage. They're trying to get closer and closer. You can't breathe. You having to really work to try to catch a breath because your ribs are all squeezed in amongst other people. And don't nobody smell no good, I can tell you right now. That's the way this crowd was. So in the middle of all that, Jesus says, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. He wanted them to, he's trying to, again, to see the swelling crowd and get them to realize how things can get out of hand in a hurry. And he says, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. You know, there's lots of things people say and do that they don't say and do in front of their church friends. There's a lot of things people do in secret that they think that ain't nobody ever going to find out about. But the Bible, Jesus said, there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed. We can sit and pet our secret sin and love on it like a lap dog, but you know what? It's going to eventually be found out. What's the Bible say? Be sure your sin will find you out. That's Deuteronomy 32:23, I do believe. Be sure your sin will find you out. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed in the housetop. In other words, what you said when you didn't think nobody was around, it's going to be discovered. What you said in the closet or in the bedroom or wherever you was at, whispering in secret to somebody, it'll get found out. So what is he warning about, though? He's warning about, listen, what are they doing? What are they spreading? What are they doing saying he works for Beelzebub? They're telling lies about God. Can I tell you some lies about God? The Big Bang Theory is a lie about God. Evolution is a lie about God. Mormonism is a lie about God. The Catholic Church and its teachings is a lie about God. The Jehovah's Witness is a lie about God. The Muslim, whatever you want to call it, faith is a lie about God. And on and on and on and on and on. It's a lie. It's a lie about God. Listen, sodomite marriage is a lie about God. God's got love. God loves everybody. God hates sin. And those who reject God, God hates them. Why? Because they refuse his son. The only reason God ever loved any of us is because of his son. And because of us. I've said that so many times, but it's true. God doesn't look down at me and say, man, he's a fine specimen. Look at him. Look at him. Isn't he good at everything he does? And I'm not. I'm not sitting there bragging on myself. I'm just saying, God don't look down at me and say, man, what a creation I have made. He's fantastic. No, if he looked down and he saw me for what I am, listen, he'd have to pitch me into hell. But he don't look down and see me for what I am. He sees the blood that's covered me. And I'm pure as the snow in his eyes because he sees his son. And he loves me because he sees his son. He said, we better be careful. We need to be careful what we listen to. We need to be careful what influence gets in our ears and what gets in our minds and what gets in our hearts. And he's warning his disciples against this nonsense. He said, and I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. But why? Because they want to kill him. And he's bold in the middle of it. He's bold and he doesn't back down in the middle of it. Jesus was never afraid of them, ever. You may see times when he slipped out the side door. He walked through the crowd and they didn't notice him. But don't think for one second he was ever afraid. His time was not yet come. And that's what the Bible always says, time again. His time was not yet come. It wasn't according to God's timetable, and that's why they couldn't put their hands on him. And that's why he got away, because they couldn't do it, because God wouldn't allow it. Jesus was never afraid of anything. If I could put a title on this message, it's pretty simple. Don't be afraid and don't be a hypocrite. What is the story right here? I'm going to tell you what the story is. The story is there's a million voices coming at us all day long from every direction. Maybe not. Maybe they're not direct. Maybe they're just subtle. But there are voices that come at us all the time that try to discourage us from standing up and living our faith. Why? Because it makes people uncomfortable. I made a joke about when Halloween was going on, and I told Jackson, I said, if you want to be scary, I said, dress up like a street preacher and between classes, go out and stand in the hall and read the Bible real loud. It's scary by death. Truth. And nothing makes people uncomfortable like the Word of God. That'll scare you to death, especially in certain passages you read. And listen, I'm going to tell you one of the scariest verses right here. It's very plain. And Jesus says in verse 5, but I will forewarn ye whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. And that's what's missing. You talk about taking away the key of knowledge. Let me tell you what's happened in America. The fear of God is missing. We've secularized church to the point to where there's no fear of God anymore. We've secularized preaching to the point to where there's no fear of God anymore. We've taken it away. We've done it like they used to do medicine. Put so much sugar in there, you don't taste the medicine no more. Put enough fog machines, crank up enough amplifiers, flash enough lights, slick up the preacher enough. People forget all about why they're even there. There ain't no fear of God anymore. Listen, it wasn't the wingtip shoes nor the black coat and tie. It wasn't the horn rimmed glasses nor the sweat dripping off their faces that got a hold of me when I was younger. It was the message. It was the truth. And I'm here to tell you this morning, we better find the fear of God. Because I'm telling you something, God, this world has changed. Society has changed. Culture has changed. People have changed. But God hasn't changed. The Word of God hasn't changed. We live in a day of apostasy. We live in a lukewarm day. We live in a day of an apostate church. God hasn't changed. Not one bit. I'm going to tell you something. We are in the midst. I mean, and Jesus is telling us right here. He's telling us that these Pharisees and their leaven, leaven, when things rise, when bread rises, I mean, you don't hear noise. You don't go, wow, look at that bread rising. Nobody ever says that because it happens so quietly, subtly, that you don't even notice until you go back and check, oh, the bread rose. It happens in your life quietly, subtly. The devil, what does the Bible say about the devil? He was more subtle than any creature. He's sneaky. He does it slow. He doesn't come at you all at once. Again, he's not the guy on the devil's ham can. He don't jump out and go, boo, I'm the devil with his red suit and his pitchfork and his pointy tail. No, he comes at you as an angel of light to enlighten you. Isn't that funny? They talk about angel of light, enlightenment, Illuminati, all this, the light, they call Lucifer the light bearer. That's why he's an angel of light. And I mentioned the Mason's Lodge earlier. They follow that angel of light, as do all the secret societies, as do most of our governmental leaders. Bunch of vampires, baby blood-drinking vampires is what they are. They are. They're hooked on adrenaline. They're adrenaline junkies. They're seeking a fountain of youth. They want to live forever. They're vile. They kidnap our children. They do, for their perverted pleasures. They're sick, devilish vampires is what they are. And they're hell-bound. They are hell-bound with a hammer down. That's all. Listen, they run our country. I'm not saying Donald Trump is one of them. I'm not saying that. But I'm telling you that they're all in Congress and all in the Senate. Hey, listen, especially out on the left coast, man, they are full of these horrible, horrible, wicked, wicked, perverted sins. And we live in that day, but what does Jesus say? Jesus says, beware of it. Why? Because it comes in our house. Used to, Lester Roloff used to say, you need to watch out for them three sewer lines that are pumped in, ABC, NBC, and CBS. Three sewer lines. Why? Because they pump in garbage to rot our brain. Don't watch the news. They're going to lie to you. They're going to pump your brain full of garbage. Listen, you know one thing I found out about the Pharisees I was reading earlier today? There was two different parts of them. Did you know that, Brother Wall? There was two different kinds. I'm trying to remember what they were called. Let me see if I can pull it up here without kicking us off the air. But there was two different kinds of Pharisees. It says there was the Shammai and the Hillel. The Shammai called for a strict, unbending interpretation of the law on almost every issue, but Hillel taught a looser, more liberal application. Followers of Shammai fostered a hatred for anything Roman, including taxation. Jews who served as tax collectors were persona non grata. The Shammaites wanted to outlaw all communication and commerce between Jews and Gentiles. The Hillelites took a more gracious approach and opposed such extreme exclusiveness. Eventually, the two schools within Phariseeism grew so hostile to each other they refused to worship together. Kind of sound like Republicans and Democrats. It blew my mind when I read that. It's liberals and conservatives. And both of them lost. Don't think for one second just because we got a lot of Republicans in this country that stand up on moral issues we do that they're all saved, because they ain't. There's a whole bunch of sodomite Republicans. Oh, yeah. But you know what? You know what? They have something in common. Most of them hate Jesus, even though they're going to say they don't. When it comes right down to it, hey, listen, there ain't a single one of them stinking Republicans trying to do anything about Roe versus Wade, get abortion illegal in this country. No, ain't none of them done nothing about prayer, getting back in school. I mean, listen, maybe in one state or two, but not across this nation. Why is it you turn on the television on Sunday morning and you hear some weak, nothing watered down message? You don't get no old-timey hard gospel preaching. They don't want it. You ain't going to hear it. Bob Jones Sr. said, your popularity is equal to the amount of your popularity and exposure is equal to the amount that they are able to control you. I believe that. See, the leaven, they don't want us out there. Why? Because we're the salt. They're the leaven. We burn, we sting, We irritate. They puff up. Most people would rather be puffed up than irritated. Amen? I mean, I'm telling you right now, they'd rather be full of pride thinking they know more about their stuff than irritated and brought down to a humble state. Amen? But you know what? And here, let's get back to the Bible. Verse 6. Jesus said, he just told him, he said, don't be afraid. He said, I'm going to tell you right now, don't be afraid of these Pharisees. Don't be afraid. Why? Because they're putting so much pressure. They're putting so much pressure, and then you got all these people crawling on each other to get to him. And he said, look, don't be afraid. Fear not. Why? Trouble of this. Well, remember, there was another time where he had a situation like this, and his family, his brethren came out to him, and they basically said, Jesus, are you crazy? What are you doing out here? The world is going to look at you funny if you try to serve God. They're going to talk about you if you try to serve God. They're going to think you're strange if you try to serve God. Jesus said, don't listen to them. Don't let that leaven in your ears. Don't get full of pride and puffed up and feel like you're too good to witness to somebody. You're too good to stop your day to help somebody who's in need. You're too good to share what God has done with you. Hey, don't listen to the Pharisees' leaven. It comes at us from everywhere. It'll puff you up to the point where your relationship with God will suffer sorely. It really will. And he says, you better fear God. He said, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? It was something I read about that, about them being sold for 2 farthings. I remember what it was. I read that. It said that the price of 2 sparrows was 2 farthings. I'm sorry, was a farthing. A farthing was what the price of 2 sparrows was. So he said, are not 5 sold for 2 farthings? So basically, you buy 2 sets, you get 1 free. That's the implication here. See, if you don't, I guess if you don't know that, you don't realize that. But he's saying you can get you a farthing buys 2, but if you buy 2 sets, you get an extra one. And he says, are not 5 farthings sold or 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God, even though one of them's free. You technically didn't pay for it. It's not less important to God. It's not less important to God. Ain't nobody, none of us, less important to God than the rest of us. Don't get the idea that you're not important. Don't get the idea that God can't use you. Don't think, well, you know, you don't know where I came from. Well, it doesn't matter where you came from. It matters who you are and where you're going. Just because one of them sparrows was free don't mean God values it any less. What does the Bible say over in Matthew? It says that one of those sparrows die. He said it doesn't happen without your Father. Doesn't say it doesn't happen without the knowledge of your Father. It says it doesn't happen without your Father. That bird falls off that limb and God lays that little bird down. God cares about that little bird. And if God cares about that little bird, listen to me, he cares about us a whole lot more. Jesus said, even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. I got a lot of numbers missing, but amen. I'm thankful that they're all numbered. Amen. He said, fear you, therefore, you're of more value than many sparrows. God values us. Why? Why does he value us? Again, it ain't because of who we are. God doesn't value you because of who you are. God values you because of whose you are. Because Jesus loved you enough to bleed and die for you. That put value on you. The blood of God's own Son was spent for you. So that gives you value. There's your value. God invested his own Son's blood on your account. That gives you great value. And because he put great value, he's going to invest greatly in you. And God is going to empower you if you will turn yourself over to him, and God will use you. You may not see it. Again, like I said, there's a lot of people that my life has touched that I don't even know because I haven't seen them face to face, but I don't have to know who they all are.
I don't have to know that anybody's getting reached. God didn't put me down here so I could tally them all up and mail it out to everybody and tell them what a great pastor I was, like some of these preachers do. Want to brag on how many they baptized this year? I'm not going to brag on nothing. I'm going to brag on Jesus because he's been good to me. I'm not in competition with anybody but the me of yesterday. But you know what? I'm valuable to God. And in the middle of all that crowd, in the middle of all that chaos, Jesus wanted them to know, you don't have to be afraid of anything. You're valuable. I value you. My Father values you. And you know what? Why are we here? We're here for one reason. We are here to proclaim who Jesus Christ is. That's why we're here. That's the only reason we're here. Really, that's it. That's the only point of us being on this earth. All the things we do while we're down here, that's all well and good. But our real true purpose is to let the message resound from us that we've heard. That's it. So he says, also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, that's what we're here to do. Him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. I like that. Amen. If I brag on Jesus, he's going to brag on me. I don't have nothing to be bragged on about. Amen. It was all him. But he's going to brag on me. Amen. In heaven, he's going to brag on me. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. He's talking about them Pharisees right then. He's talking about them lawyers right then. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. Boy, it's a head scratcher right there. I've read a lot of different men who had a whole lot of different ideas what that meant right there. And I'm not going to tell you that I'm the end-all, be-all of knowledge because I'm not. But you know what I get out of that? I look back up there to what he said up there at the beginning. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. And I jump right down there, and he says, he that denieth me before men. And that's what they were doing. They had all of the truth right there in their hands. They had the old test. And they believed. Listen, you want to know what they believed? They believed that the Bible was the Word of God. That's what the Pharisees did. You have to give them that. They did. They believed the Bible was the Word of God. The Old Testament, that's the Word they had. They believed it. But you see, they also believed the traditions that they'd heard. And they believed they were equal with God's Word. That's just like a Mason carrying that Bible with the Masonic Lodge symbol on the front of it into church. And I've seen them, and y'all have seen them if you've been to church anywhere. You know what? They believe the Bible, but they also believe that all that stuff and rules and dogma and all that stuff and Albert Pike wrote, they believe that stuff's on the equal footing. That's 11 of the Pharisees. You know, there's kids that say, oh yeah, I believe the Bible, I believe that, but I also believe what they teach me in science class. I also believe that we descended from monkeys and God worked all that out. I also believe in the Big Bang Theory, and I believe that God created something out of nothing and exploded and it formed over millions and millions and millions of years. And a lot of people believe all kinds of things, but you know what? It didn't come out of this book. It's 11 of the Pharisees. And you know what it'll lead a person to do? It'll lead a person to deny him. That's what that puffing up will do. You start believing your own hype. You start believing your own ideas. I just feel like, I know it says it, but I just feel like that it happened this way. He that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. You know, I happen to think, Brother Wally, about Hebrews 6, verse 4. I just got to read it. When I come across that verse, that's what hit me, was Hebrews 6, verse 4. Hebrews 6, verse 4, oh, it's just one of the most controversial verses in the whole Bible. It says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now, that almost sounds like, man, you could lose your salvation. But let's hold on a minute. Let's hold on a minute. Let's look at verse 10 in Luke chapter 12. Keep your finger where you were. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. I don't believe there's a particular sin that's the unpardonable sin. I don't believe that for one second. I don't believe that we're in, that anybody in this room is in danger of committing that sin. I don't believe we could. I believe it's right here. Here's the sin that you can't be forgiven of. It says those who were once enlightened. What does that mean? That means the light came on, right? You enlightened, the light came on, okay? They've tasted the heavenly gift. They didn't eat it. They just got a taste of it. Well, let me tell you something. When the Holy Spirit convicted me and showed me that Jesus died for me and he showed me that I was lost, that was the first time God had ever spoke to me in my life. And when God spoke to me, I heard it loud and clear. And God was offering to me salvation. Okay? I was a partaker of the I tasted of the heavenly gift. I was a partaker of the Holy Ghost. In other words, he was dealing with me. Right? He came to me, and I was under conviction. He was dealing with me. And you know what? But then he says, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, to bring them to repentance. If they fall away, they say, no, I don't want that. Leave me alone. Get out of here. I don't want that mess. I'm going to live my life the way I want to. I don't want God. I don't want no part of this mess. See, if you believe that you can find salvation in yourself, if you believe you can find salvation in works, if you believe you can find salvation in a church, if you believe you can find salvation in meditation, whatever you find, steps, sacraments, whatever you want to call it, if you believe you can find it in any other way and God tries to deal with you and show you that you're lost without him and you say, get out of here, I don't want that mess, that's out of hell, get away from me. You blaspheme the Holy Ghost. You told him to leave, get away from you, don't come back. God says, he was to deal with you again and be like crucifying Jesus all over again. He's already gave you the sacrifice. He's laid it out in front of you. You said, no, I don't want that. Whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. I remember years and years and years ago, there was a woman, and I know, Brother Wally, you probably remember the story, of a woman who got really burdened about the hell's angels. She's a Christian woman, and she went and got an audience with the Hell's Angels and witnessed to a bunch of them. I guarantee them Hell's Angels had cussed Jesus before. I'm sure they'd used his name in vain so many times, but you know what? Some of them got saved out of that. They wouldn't blaspheme the Holy Ghost. They'd said some ugly things about Jesus. They'd called God's name a cuss word and everything else, but they had not come to that point of conviction. But when they got to that point of conviction, they didn't blaspheme God. They said, yes, we're lost. We need to be saved. That's what that's talking about. Jesus is saying here, we need him. We need him. Listen, forget the world. Forget the noise. Forget the garbage. Forget everything that comes against you. Listen, get your eyes on Jesus. Get next to him. Believe in his power. He can work in your life. Believe in his truth that it don't ever change. Don't listen to the nonsense, the hypocrite world that wants to tell you you can do anything you want to do. You can be anything you want to do. You. No. It's him. They change all these. Listen, they changed all these songs. Now the church has got all these songs talking about, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I will this, I will that. It's not about what he did anymore. It's about what you'll do. It's your worship. Look at my worship, Jesus. Look at my worship. That's what these songs proclaim. It's leaven. Jesus said, listen, don't be afraid. Don't be worried. Don't be afraid. I mean, in the day he says this, again, he's surrounded by enemies. His disciples are surrounded by his enemies. They see the hatred. They hear the hatred. And they were men. And remember this, they were men who failed again and again and again and again and again and again. And Jesus said to them over and over and over, O ye of little faith, why for didst thou doubt?
time and time and time. And I've said a lot of times that, you know, them disciples give me courage because he was patient with them through all of their shortcomings. He's patient with me. But in the middle of this hour, when everything seems to be coming against Jesus, when they've got a visual picture of what he's saying, crawling over each other to get to him, and all the hatred voices coming from all outside, and in the middle of it, he's saying to them, what I'm trying to communicate to you, don't listen to the garbage. Tune it out. It's all around us. You can't help but see it. You can't help but hear it, but tune it out. It's not for me or you. It's not for me. It's those trying to slam the door on grace. That's what they are doing. They're messengers of Satan trying to slam the door on grace. That's not mine and your problem. Doesn't change our job description. Not one bit. We're messengers. We're ambassadors. We're those that herald the gospel message. Shouldn't change us one bit. Get your eyes on him. Quit worrying about it. Quit being afraid. And he said, listen, and I don't know, he's talking to the Jews right here, and he's talking to them in a time that we're not going through. I understand that. But he says, and when they bring you into the synagogues and under magistrates and powers, he's saying they're going to bring you before kings. They're going to bring you before governors. They're going to bring you before judges. They're going to bring you before councils. He said, take no thought of what thing you shall answer or what you shall say. Why did he say that? Because why? Because we feed off our own doubts. We feed off our own fears. And if we're not careful, those doubts and fears turn into anxiety and panic. And we forget whose power we're relying on. The devil is always going to be there to whisper to you and say you can't. He's always going to be there to whisper to you and say you'll fail. You can't do it. You're a nobody. God doesn't care about you. But he's a liar. Jesus said so. He was a liar from the beginning. He seeks to kill, steal, kill, and destroy. Don't listen to him. Jesus is saying, get your eyes off of the multitude. Get your eyes off of the horde. Get your eyes off of all that, and keep your eyes on me. And I'll give you what you should say. He said, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour. Not ahead of time. God doesn't prepare us for the next situation. God prepares us in the next situation. If God told us what to do 4 or 5 steps ahead, we'd get cocky. You know what God likes? God likes those who are dependent. You know what happens as you take each step with God and he shows up on the doorstep where you're at, right there where you're at and your problem, and God reveals to you his power and God shows you what to say and God shows you what to do and you see it happen before your very eyes, you step back after you and go, that was God. You know what that does? That encourages you for the next time. Until you get to where you're like a Stephen. Go ahead. Praise God. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. No matter what you're facing, God's going to give you the right attitude and the right heart in the middle of it. But you got to trust him. You got to put your eyes on him and fear not them which kill the body, and that's all they can do. Because listen to me, the moment your body dies and your soul leaves it, you're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid of this world. Listen, we're not living in the Middle East right now. We're not living under threat all the time. But I'm going to tell you, that threat is going to get louder and louder and louder as they send refugees from Muslim countries into all the free countries of the world to flood them and collapse their systems so we all have to collapse. And that's what's heading. That's what's heading for us. That's where we're going. There ain't no denying it. They're trying their best to bankrupt all the free countries of the world so they all collapse and they all have to go under one world power. We are living in the last days of planet Earth. But in the middle of it, fear not. Fear not. We didn't have no power to start with. Yeah, we've lived through some good times and good days. But we're going into something we ain't never experienced before. And as we go, we just keep our eyes on the Lord. Never take our eyes off. And he'll give us what to say. And he'll show us what to do. But we got to keep our eyes on him. If you get to know Jesus like you ought to, you won't ever be afraid again. Mm-hmm. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And without me, you can do nothing. Just put your eyes on Jesus. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord. I thank you so much for the message today. Lord God, I just pray for each and every one, Lord. We don't know what tomorrow's got for us.
Lord, we're just living right now in today, trying to live and walk with you and please you. Lord, I know there are people around us, surely, that need you. Lord, I pray you'd help us be soul conscious. Lord, that we care about the souls of men and women, boys and girls around us. Lord, that we be, Lord, willing to tell other people not only that we're a believer, but what God's done in our life, what Christ can do. Lord, we'd be willing to talk to other people about Jesus and share with them his love for them. Lord, I just pray, Father, that you would help us. Lord, I know you will. I pray, Lord, that we'll be willing to accept your help. I guess that's what my prayer ought to be, Father. I pray that you make us willing and ready to accept your help. Father, I just ask you, please, you know our needs. Lord, you know the needs of everyone in this room, Father, and I pray, Lord, that you meet them. I pray, Lord, you show up and show out in our life. And Father, I pray for each one under the sound of my voice this morning. Lord, there may be somebody under the sound of my voice, Lord, who's never believed on Christ as their Savior. And Father, I pray, Lord, that even now, Lord, I know you've worked on their hearts, and I know, Lord, that, Father, I pray that even now you'd show them like you showed me so long ago, that all their sins stand between them and God. And there's only one bridge that can close that gap, and that's the bridge of Calvary, Lord. Jesus, you died for us on that cross. You paid for our sins. You became the gift of God to us. You were buried, but, Lord, you didn't stay dead. You were raised from the dead. God did that just showing that we were justified, that our sins have been paid for, but that gift is free because you paid all of it. And Lord, I pray for the one this morning under conviction. I pray that, Lord, they'd turn to you and they'd humble themselves. They'd turn, Lord, from their way and they'd turn to you in believing that Jesus has done all that's necessary for them, that salvation is theirs to be had if they, by faith, reach out and take it and believe and trust and depend. Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for my salvation. And Lord, I pray for the one this morning who's dealing, Lord, with whether or not to believe or not. Father, I pray you draw them and you show them that they can trust Christ and be saved. Father, I pray for them right now. Lord, for the backslider. Lord, for the one whose marriage is in trouble. For the one who's got children that have gone astray. Lord, for the one who's in all kinds of trouble themselves. Father, I pray, Lord, that you give them the answer. You show them the way. Lord, please help us now. Please forgive our sin. Please empower us. Fill us with your Spirit. We love you and we thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.